Well, hello, boys and girls, men and women, children of all ages, and fisher people who want to go fishing in the Charlotte Harbor area and would like a fishing report. That's what we're going to do. I am Captain Josh Olive, seated next to me, Mr. Robert Lukowitz, the longtime manager here at Fish and Franks. We are seated in the world headquarters in Charlotte Harbor, Florida, prepared to give you what we know about fishing in the area recently, what we've been told, what people have lied to us about, you know, basically standard fishing report stuff.
Okay.
Would you like to get started, Robert?
Sure.
Would you really, though?
I don't know.
I feel like you wouldn't. I feel like you'd rather be somewhere else. That's okay.
I'd like to be retired and frolicking all over the world, but I didn't win the lottery last night, so...
Did you play?
Christina did.
And you still lost, huh?
Still lost.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have guessed that 1 in 300 million chance didn't come through for you?
Yeah. So more than 1 in 300 million?
It's 1 in 308 or something like that million.
Oh, okay.
But it's pretty close. I mean, it rounds to that.
Okay.
When you're dealing with numbers that big.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you're going to look alive. You're going to give this report. And if you do not seem sufficiently motivated to do so, I am going to tickle you.
Oh, okay.
So, if you hear manic laughing at any point during this, that is what will have occurred, and I'm doing it for you, the listener. Meanwhile, we will get started with the Peace River, Harbor Heights, and upriver along Shell Creek as we begin the place-by-place fishing report. Go, Robert, go!
Gar. 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 And gar, and even more gar.
So that's lots of gar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are these long-nose gar or Florida gar?
Yes. Both.
Okay.
Multiple reports of a couple people hooking and landing them. That's about it.
That's about it.
Nothing else up there.
Okay. Do you ever send people out there to intentionally catch gar?
I have a couple people, yes.
Have you ever talked with anybody about making a rope fly?
No.
Do you know what a rope fly is?
I do.
But you haven't talked to anybody about it?
Nope.
Because?
I don't know, it just doesn't come up.
Oh, okay. Would you like to talk about it now?
Sure.
Well, it's just, you know, when you talk about gar fishing, it's just the easiest way to actually get a gar to your hand is to use a rope fly.
Right.
You know, a piece of shreddable poly rope, not the stuff that has the stiff, bristly look to it when you start to unravel it, but the stuff that has a nice soft feel to it. A hemp rope or a cotton rope will work, but nylon rope is what they usually use.
Mm-hmm.
Not the stiff stuff.
And then they just tie it to their string and...
You need a piece about, I don't know, 3 to 6 inches long. You need to shred one end pretty good so that it's loose fibers, and then you tie on the stiffer end to your line and you cast it out there and you kind of jig it around and a gar will grab it, and once he grabs it, he can't really let go.
He gets entangled in it.
His teeth get stuck.
Yeah.
And then you just reel him in.
It's like fishing with a whole bunch of dental floss.
Except that it works.
Yeah.
I've always wondered if it will work on other species too.
Well, they actually had a lure years ago that they designed for billfish that was the same way. And it would just wrap around their bill.
Which makes sense. Because, you know, most people, they think of a billfish as, they think that bill is shiny or smooth surfaced, and it's not at all.
Right.
That bill's very rough. It almost has a heavy sandpaper feel to it.
Oh, very
much so.
Or
maybe even like a shark skin kind of feel.
It's actually... It's rougher than shark skin.
So, well, depending on your shark.
Okay.
Most of us should deal with baby shark.
The majority of the sharks that I've dealt with, a 30-pound sailfish has got a much more rougher bill on it than a 250-pound bull or lemon.
So once you get stuff to tangle in that material on the beak, then you're pretty well stuck.
Mm-hmm. That's how they fish for the houndfish over in... Oh, panther chameleons, Madagascar.
Okay.
Off of Madagascar, and they actually go in and get like the big banana spider or weaver type spiders and collect the webbing off of that, and they pull that behind their little dugout canoes and tangle them up in that.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of work for Gar. I'm not pulling down spider webs to catch a gar.
Most people don't want to get anywhere near the spider or the gar for that matter.
But if you did want to catch a gar, you don't have to have spiders. Just a piece of rope is all you need. Of course, they'll be happy to eat your shiners.
Right.
But they're probably just going to end up eating your shiners. It's difficult to hook them.
So you need to talk to Mr. Spain about doing a column about eating gar.
I will give it a try. You know, I know he's a cracker. I don't know if he's redneck enough to have eaten gar before. But I'll ask him.
I'll bet he has.
We'll find out.
Because from what I hear, you know, from actually the Cook brothers was the first one that ever told me about it when I first moved here 25, 26 years ago. And they talked about it back then.
Well, all this stuff happens to work out really well because your column in next week's Waterline is focused on gar.
Nice.
So
there you go. It works out perfect.
Good timing. It's not just coincidence.
It is.
Moving on, the Darst Park Boat Ramp I-75 Bridges area.
Zero, nothing, nada.
No reports.
Nope.
You think that means no fish or just no reports?
The one customer I talked to that actually fished it said it was very extremely slow. He hooked one little tiny snook that threw the hook, got one other thump, and that was it in about an hour fishing along the entire span of the bridge.
Gotcha. Okie dokie. Well, then let's move on. The 41 bridges.
Not a whole heck of a lot better, but a little bit better. They are getting some small snook there at night. During the daytime, they've been catching a few very small mangrove snapper and a couple of bull sharks. But that is it. It's been extraordinarily quiet there, but I had several customers, 91, 91 and a half, and one guy had 92 degree water temperature.
Well, that would explain that.
Yeah. But it's toasty. And I think he got that temperature inside the marina basin over there. But everyone else is like 91, 91.2, 91.5. I mean, it's hot.
Well, hey, you know, you get up over about 85, 86, and that's when things start moving out. You're touching 90, I'm surprised there's anything up there at all.
Right.
How about the Lashley Pier, where it's also 90 degrees?
Zero. I got nothing there. Nothing at all, to be honest. It's been a little quiet on this end. I think some people are getting the idea that it's slow up here and need to travel, and the ones that don't know are the ones that are coming in and complaining the only thing they're catching is catfish. And
yeah.
Wondering why. Well, it was here in April.
I know those
great
people.
Then.
The Bayshore Pier.
I got zero.
The Port Charlotte Canal, salty and brackish.
Well, let's see. There's been a few black drum in there. Some juvenile tarpon, mostly rolling and just flipping you the fin. And some very small snook. Except for the one she hooked last night for about 20 seconds.
Now, you were mentioning Mr. Spain earlier. That's Tim Spain, Chef Tim Spain, who writes a seafood column for Waterline. And he was telling me that they were doing pretty good on the juvenile tarpon.
Yeah.
He said as long as the tide was flowing out and they were going up the canal and trolling, that they were doing okay. He said they'd hooked four tarpon on one trip up the canal. He said one of them hit a bait buster, the other three hit 4-inch paddle tails.
Okay. I can see that, I guess. That's good. I mean, to hook four juvenile tarpon, hey, in a couple months is impressive, let alone
right.
in a day.
Yeah, in one trip.
Yeah.
And it ain't a long trip up his canal.
No.
So.
If he can replicate that 2 days in a row, I'll be impressed.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I said. And he said, well, you know, they're out there all the time. They don't always hit.
Right.
And I said, yeah, that's the story of tarpon.
Yeah. It's the joys of juvenile tarpon, let alone adult tarpon.
But it's just a reminder that, you know, just because they didn't bite yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before, etc., that's no reason to not make a cast or try to troll through them today.
Oh, I'd do it every day.
The L. Jobin Pier.
It's been a little quiet there, but they have been juvenile tarpon in the mornings on the harbor side of the bridges. And then there's been a handful of nice snook being caught there. I had one kid catch a 32-incher on one of those new, well, they're new to us, the NLBN mullet.
No live bait needed.
Yeah, we've been carrying the other, the 5-incher, for quite a few months, but we got in a whole gamut of the 3-inch and the other mullet thing, and he was happy with his snook on it.
And where would you expect to find those snook? They under the bridge, under the pilings?
Yes, they're all kind of scattered throughout there, but it's been just a nighttime thing. I have not heard of anybody doing anything really good during the day. Been pretty darn quiet over there.
Okay.
Just do the best you can. It's that time of year. People always talk about El Jobin, and it's like El Jobin's unique, but that's usually my spot that I'll stop at on my way back from like Placida or Tom Adams Bridge or someplace like that.
And how about heading out down the Myakka River area from the bridge down to Marker 8?
Pretty quiet. There's been a couple of incidental Spanish mackerel. Not targetable, just guys are trolling on along their way, messing around. And then there has been a few smaller sharks, because there has been some small thread fins out there. Most of the white bait has left the upper end of the harbor, but the bait fish that are out there, most of them are thread fins. So if you can find some of those, that's probably the better spot to find your Spanish and definitely your little sharks. It's not too bad.
Key dokie. South Gulf Cove Canals.
A lot of Mayan cichlids, and a gentleman caught a 5-pound bass off of his dock.
Hey,
And
we
he
knew they were in there all along.
Yeah. Well, and he had been throwing plastic worms and little creature baits for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. He finally got fed up enough. He decided to buy half a dozen shiners to take with him out there, and that's what he caught that bass on. And then the Mayan cichlids, he's been catching them on little live worms, and he caught a couple on the little tube jigs that they usually use for crappie and bluegill.
There you go.
But he's enjoying eating those. He's really liking that.
Well, it's a good eating fish.
It is.
How about the West Wall?
Very quiet. It's, there's been some ladyfish on top of the bar and on the outside edge of the bar, but overall, extremely quiet. It's just too hot.
Now, as we get further south down the West Wall, heading towards Cape Hayes, is it getting a little better?
Yes. Right around Cape Hayes. It's pretty much where it gets better.
Okay. Then let's move to that spot.
Okay. Cape Hayes, right there at the point, at the corner, curving along the mangroves, going to Turtle Bay, just past Muddy Bay. Mm-hmm. They've been getting some snook there. Guy said he saw one that was probably pushing 40 inches as he was cruising along through there. He actually did a U-turn to come back and check it out because he wasn't sure what he saw.
I don't remember that log sitting there on the bottom.
Yeah. So he turned back around and found it, and he said there was two little snook following it. It went up into Muddy Bay. But he thought it was pretty impressive just to see one that big swimming along. And then out on top of the Cape Hayes bar itself, lots of bonnet heads, a few Spanish mackerel, some ladyfish. They even got a few mangrove snapper out there, just a little bit deeper water, heading out towards Marker 5. So it's definitely, that's where your life definitely is starting. This is where the fishing report gets much better from this point forward for the most part.
So what you're saying is if you're going to go fishing, then plan to burn a little bit of fuel if you're starting out in the upper harbor.
Correct.
Maybe just head directly to where the fish are biting.
Yeah.
Instead of hope to run across a biting fish in the area where they're not.
Yeah. Be prepared just to burn those extra couple gallons of gas, but save yourself a lot of time and aggravation and sweat and just beeline it down to that southern end of the harbor, start fishing there.
And I get it. People complain about the gas prices. I totally understand it. But how much is your time worth?
Right.
You know, how much time do you really have to go out there and fish? How much time do you have to waste in a place where you already have been told the fishing here kind of sucks? So, right. You know?
Absolutely.
All right, turtle and bull.
Turtle and bull. Let's see, lots of redfish and snook. And most of them have been up under the bushes. People are doing better on cut bait than anything else, both live shrimp, frozen shrimp, but cut mullet, cut ladyfish, frozen blue crabs. Seems to be catching a variety of stuff up in there. A couple guys have been seeing some bigger sharks cruising around throughout the flats in there. Nobody's really hooked any, but they've been seeing a few bigger sharks in the 5-foot range. No trout to speak of inside. And there is bait in there, but it's all very small. So honestly, it's even if you threw a 1/4-inch mesh net on it, what are you going to do? Put 3 or 4 of them on a number one hook and hope that doesn't sink them to the bottom?
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know, I just don't understand that. Well, I got my 1/4-inch mesh net. I'm going to go catch those 2-inch white bait.
Okay.
Nice. Good idea. Thanks.
Did you bring your bluegill hooks, too?
Yeah. And what are you going to do next year when there's no brood stock left because you took all the juvenile white bait?
Well, but I have to have white bait or I can't fish.
I have to have white bait. Absolutely.
Nothing else works.
No.
That's dumb. Boy. All right, so no trout inside the bays. Are there trout on the outside edges?
Yep. They've been out front. 4 to 7 feet of water. And then we're getting to the next couple spots where they're at also.
Okay.
But basically just look for that deeper water out front. Much better chance of getting them.
Out
and getting
front.
Bit off by Spanish mackerel too at the same time because you're in that deep enough water where that's very realistic too.
Okay. Spanish mackerels.
Mackerel.
No, I wrote mackerel. So
yeah.
We're going to go with that from now on. That's the word now. Mackerels.
Oh.
Okie doke. Cape, Hayes Reef, and Danger Reef.
Some trout. And both speckled and silver trout. A couple guys got some silver trout out there at Danger Reef.
And these are on the bottom.
Yep.
I just like to remind people of that, you know, when you're fishing for trout in 15 feet of water, we don't put a shrimp 2 feet under a cork.
No. You're putting it on a jig head right on the bottom, pretty much. The other thing they've been getting out there is some Spanish, a couple of sharks, black nose, and even some bonnet heads. They get some bonnet heads out in that open water. And then they're also, gentlemen, got a 5-pound jack and like an 8-pound jack, I forget, something like that. You know, he had them on a boga grip, so we got to take his word for whatever the poundage
right.
was, but.
But there may be jacks schooling in the area.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's about it there.
That's about it. Well, that's not too bad, so I'm not going to complain. Gasparilla Sound.
All along the intercoastal there in that 4 to 7 feet of water, you're finding some trout and Spanish mackerel. The redfish and the snook, honestly, have been hanging out either right along the edges of the bushes where you're finding moving water, so at the mouth of Catfish and Wooden Creek or any of the other little tiny feeder creeks that feed out of there. But they've also been getting a few right there on the big, those couple oyster patches that are out there going from, well, what is that? That's, I guess it's the Clam Lease going into Wooden Bay heading towards Wooden Creek. There's those two little oyster bars in there. So we can get them around that.
Okay. Still a cut bait bite?
Yeah. That seems to be what they're catching them on. One guy got into a couple small snook throwing jerk baits. Just twitching them along.
Soft plastic jerk baits.
Yeah. Yeah, like the fluke style jerk baits.
Now, when you're fishing these areas with cut bait, especially if you're using like ladyfish or mullet. How are you avoiding the sharks?
You're not. They're just going to be in Sedona bycatch. Nothing you can really do. It's the same way with the catfish. It'll sometimes get in there because you've got some sail cats this time of year up in there and the hardheads, but usually using just a big enough piece of bait where the hardheads can't swallow it, but they'll beat the snot out of it, pecking at it, trying to get a hold of it. Because they're greedy little boogers.
And I'd rather do that and occasionally get cut off by a shark, you know, rather than go too small and have the sharks be maybe less interested in it, but have the catfish all over it and eating it every time they come up on it.
Exactly. I'm with you on that one.
Alrighty. How about the Placida Pier, the Placida Trestle, Coral Creek Pier, and Gasparilla Pass? That would be the Placida area if you didn't catch on.
Right. It's a pretty big area. Let's see, Spanish mackerel have been out closer to the pass. There's a lot of snook scattered along all those docks there by the pass and up under the bridges and around the trestle itself. A couple people have even caught a couple oversized redfish, you know, 30, 32 inches. And all those wrong cut bait. A couple guys did catch them on pinfish that they were able to catch out there in their cast net. And then there's been a handful of sharks being caught right there off the Placida Trestle, along with some big snook at night being caught off the Placida Trestle. I sent a couple young guys out there last night because one of our regulars was out there the night before, and he got a 30-incher, a 32-incher, and I think it was 33 or 34-incher, like back-to-back. He said there was like two casts in between each one of those fish, and then it was done.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have been not fishing that area right now. I think a lot of people are just not fishing, but it surprised me. My wife and I went out to Boca Grande, and we were coming back, and it's getting close to sunset. And I'm like, okay, let's see how many people are ganged up on the Placida Pier.
Right.
How many people did I see fishing the Placida Pier?
One.
No. Zero.
Really?
Not one single person. And I said, what, did somebody burn the pier again? So I had to swing around into the parking lot and check, make sure it was open. It's open. There's two cars in the parking lot. One guy is on the little pier, and one guy is just standing on the bridge. Not fishing.
Really?
Just standing up there. So that's it. That's all that's going on.
Strange.
And I'm like, guys, the fishing here is better than for there to be zero people fishing on that pier right now. So...
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Don't know what's up with that, but I guess it gives the fish a break.
Yeah, it does.
How about Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay, let's see. A lot of little snook up there by Ski Alley. And then along the docks, along the mainland side, there's been a lot of little snook. And a couple of redfish. The redfish were small. That's about it. I'll tell you, she caught one off the dock the other night, too.
A redfish?
Yeah.
At your place?
Yeah, about an 18-incher.
Well, now I got to go all the way up and add that into the...
No, you don't. Just one fish.
One fish. No, but I don't think you had
mentioned
that.
I just don't catch
that.
Redfish back there very often, so it's kind of neat that she caught one.
No, I remember there used to be a few back there.
Mm-hmm. Goes in spurts, but been a while.
Yeah, for sure. All right, how about the Anger Pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge?
A couple bonnet heads. One guy caught about a 4-foot black tip, which it was cool because he said it was his second one, but he was with his nephew who never got to fight one. So they brought it in, got some pictures of it, let it go. They were super stoked.
That's awesome.
Been a few snook there at night. Been a few Spanish mackerel during the day, of course, but... a little bit of reports, but nothing super exceptional.
What's up with that Spanish mackerel refusing to bite at night?
I don't know. I've never understood that. It's just like you almost never hear king mackerel ever being caught at night. Spanish mackerel almost never at night. And cobia almost never at night.
Which, I mean, I get it that, you know, mackerel are visual predators. But still, they're out there swimming around.
Right.
You know? You've got the moon.
Right.
They're usually swimming near the surface of the water. They're not really known for being a deep down in the water column type of fish.
Right.
So you'd think, you know. I don't know.
You would think, but what do we know?
Not a fish. Venice jetties.
Don't know their rules. Lots of snook. Lots and lots of snook. A couple juvenile tarpon. One adult tarpon. Hook not landed. And then the snapper have been really small, but they've been hooking into them. And one guy did get a few whiting on the beach side of the jetties. But other than that, not a whole lot. I didn't hear about much for Spanish. But I'm sure they got it. I mean, they've got to be there with as heavy as they are right down the road there.
They've got to be.
Yeah.
Now tell me a little bit about the snook out here. What have they been wanting to hit?
They're catching them at night, mostly on heavier swim baits and bucktails because the current's been cranking with that new moon. So just slow rolling a heavy swim bait along the bottom has been the most productive way to get them. Or a big bucktail. You know, once again, that's another place where a lot of those guys are using that NLBN. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's pretty good stuff.
I dig it. All right, Gulf of Mexico, reefs and wrecks, bottom fishing and trolling.
Well, considering what, tomorrow's the last day for red snapper, right?
That is correct. Your recreational red snapper season ends when August begins.
And it starts back up, what, end of October?
So, yeah, I'd have to double check it, but there are, I think, 3 weekends in October and 2 in November when we get back to having open season, but it's just for those weekends.
Right.
So.
Okay. So, you're getting the red snapper out there in about 150 feet of water has been the most ideal number for the better quality fish. They're getting some scamp, a few red grouper, a few bigger mangroves. But if you don't want to go out that far, 75 to 110 feet of water, a couple guys have been getting some red grouper, mangrove snapper, yellowtail snapper. They have been seeing some little tiny peanut dolphin coming around anywhere from that 90 to 150 feet of water. And there has been some schools of bonita out there, but just not consistent. And then your better life as far as like lane snapper goes, they're in like that 60 to 100 feet of water. But they're still in that spawning group, so it's hard to find. You're not going to find great numbers on every reef you go to. You're going to find one reef, and it's going to have great numbers, and then the next three aren't going to have squat.
Right, and that's going to wrap up here in just a couple weeks with the full moon probably being the last spawn of the season for the snapper.
Right.
And then they will distribute themselves back out again as per normal. How about nearshore reefs? Anything going on there? We had some cudas last week, and there were rumors of permit.
Same thing. There's still been a lot of barracuda out there, anywhere from 3 to 20 miles out, and then heard of a few more permit, but most of the guys are just seeing a few here and there, but very few people are landing any. I've not heard much good about the permit. It's been way off. Strange.
Weird.
But what's been normal this year? Your haircut's about the only thing that's been normal and consistent this year.
It's been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Except a couple times when I forgot to shave it.
Right.
Then it started to get a little spiky.
Right.
Get a little hedgehog look going. Punta Rasa.
The only thing I've heard about down there has been Spanish mackerel. But very few reports anyway from down there, so I'm always happy when I just get one.
Yeah. A report.
Even though I prefer 3 or 4 from those areas, one's better than 0.
How about Redfish Pass?
A lot of snook. Been actually a couple of redfish going through there. And then the black tip and the black nose. Not too bad down there.
No, it doesn't sound
too
bad.
And the water's still really clear from what I was told. Not really clear, but clear enough. Clearer than it should be for this time of year.
Right. How about Captiva Pass?
Captiva Pass is almost a mirror image of Redfish Pass. The only thing I've heard of a little bit more there at Captiva Pass is that there's been a few tarpon rolling around there too. But other than that, it's kind of the same thing.
Okie dokie. Then how about Boca Grande Pass?
About the same, except for there's been more tarp in there. There's been quite a few tarp in there, actually. A whole bunch of them moved in about 3 days ago, and they moved in there all the way up to on top of the hill. And the ones that moved onto the hill in the afternoon on Wednesday actually chewed pretty good.
Well, that's new.
Yeah. Well, considering nobody's been able to find many of them.
Exactly.
But yeah, I got a phone call late Wednesday night, and they were up on the hill.
I mean, it's been probably a month since we had good tarpon reports out of there.
That's weird. It's a little concerning, but I know we ran into this last year, but it wasn't this late in the year before they showed back up. I have no idea what's going on with that.
Okay. Have you heard anything out of Matlache Pass?
No, got nothing there.
All right, south end of Pine Island Sound.
Well, let's see, you got snook and redfish up underneath the bushes. They're mostly eating shrimp, pinfish, and white bait down there. A handful of them are taking cut bait, but they seem to be wanting a little bit more live bait down in that area. And then the trout have been in some of those deeper sand holes in that 6 to 7 feet of water. And Spanish mackerel taking your lures at the same time. And if you feel like anchoring up along the edge of the intercoastal, tarpon have been coming by in ones and twos and threes, so just hang out, anchor up. A lot of guys are catching them on dead bait, taking frozen thread fins, fresh thread fins, throwing them out there and just letting them soak on the bottom, waiting for those tarpon to show up.
Okay.
It's a patience game, but you can still get numbers that way.
Well, and patience is a good thing to have this time of year.
Yeah, that's true.
The north end of Pine Island Sound.
From Captiva Rocks all the way up along the bushes. Snook, a few redfish, trout. Kind of the same thing as what you have. That whole Pine Island Sound area in general is all pretty consistent. Even the tarpon. The tarpon are hanging out in some of that deeper water and hitting cut bait and some live bait. The fly guys have been doing pretty good on some of those tarpon down there, too. I've heard of a little bit more bait up there towards the northern end between Jug Creek and Yuseppa.
Well, this is not the bait fish report, Robert. You have to save that for the bait fish report.
Oh, okay. I guess I can do that.
Jug Creek Shoal and Bokelia.
Spanish mackerel and trout mostly around all that. That's pretty much about it, really. Sure, there's other species, but
there always are.
Like we talked about on the other show, nobody really sticks around to fish for it. All the fish there, even though it's already pre-chummed.
Right?
Yep.
Why would we?
I don't know.
It's a bait spot, Robert.
That would make sense.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah. Why would fish be in a bait spot?
Burnt Store and Tupine.
Snook. Lots of little snook along the bushes over there. The juvenile tarpon have moved along on the inside of the bar there. Mostly to look at you, but they're there. And a few ladyfish on top of the bar. Not a lot, but a few.
A few. Okay.
That's about it over there.
Then let's move on. The east side keys, including Pirate Harbor.
Fair to partly quiet over there. There's been some bonnet heads, some black nose and sharp nose just on the outside edge of the bar, along with a few oddball ladyfish. But the rest of it, been very, very, very slim pickings at best.
Okay. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
Burned up fiberglass.
Burned up fiberglass. Yeah, I guess we did have a little marina fire going on over there.
Yeah. Did they ever figure out what happened with that, or what was
it? Not that I heard. I didn't see the follow-up on it. I did see somebody say it wasn't as bad as they initially thought it was. that only a couple boats burned.
Yeah, it was like three of them, I think.
But I don't know. I didn't go back in and do a check on it because I just didn't care enough.
Right.
To be honest with you.
Well, hey, that's true, though.
Once I found out the whole marina didn't burn down, it was like, oh, well, okay then.
Yeah, it's not an environmental catastrophe or anything.
Yeah.
No, it's been very slow up inside there. There's not a whole lot happening around there.
Okay. Ponce de Leon Park.
Losing Jeff was one of my best contacts for in there. He fished so darn much. He was always good for reports back in there.
And now?
Now he's passed, and now I get less fishing reports for the back in there, which sucks.
He's not sending them from the great beyond?
No, unfortunately.
They probably wouldn't be for this spot anyway.
No, probably be for a better area. So Ponce de Leon, they've been catching a couple of baby bull sharks there. Guys have been poaching some small snapper, and a couple guys have been poaching some snook. Which...
Are they also small snook?
Yeah. I've informed one of our local law enforcement officers to go back down there and keep track of some of these guys. Seems to go in spurts there where you won't hear much about that, and then all of a sudden you get three or four idiots that screw it all up. You know?
Yep. Well, everything comes in cycles.
I know.
Apparently, even idiots.
Yeah. Plenty of them. No shortage of those.
How about the PGI canals?
Black drum, and some tarpon. But overall, mainly just black drum. One of Peg Leg's customers yesterday got one that it was a solid 50 pounder. I don't know if it was 60, but it was a big fish. And then they saw one floating dead in the canal that was about a 40-pounder, but had about a 5-inch bite radius out of it from a shark.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. How about the Gilchrist Pier?
Nothing. Zero. Nothing.
Not no thing. Gator Creek Reef.
Let's see. A few incidental Spanish mackerel.
I'm gonna use the word random because we already put incidental in here once.
Oh, a few random ones. Lost? Discombobulated?
Yes.
Misplaced?
Lost. Oops, I can't spell that. I normally can, but it's been too long.
Right.
Okay, I think I got it. Displaced.
There's been also a few tarpon popping up there, and like right at first light. That's the only place I've heard of adult tarpon in the harbor has been there, and it's inconsistent, but more consistent than anywhere else in the harbor.
Now those fish are popping up, but are they eating?
The one guy hooked one on a bait buster the other day. That was it.
Okay.
One shot, one fish, put it in the air, and lost it.
But they are eating.
But he's been there 4 days in a row and found them all 4 days in a row.
Okay.
And literally right at first light, he said. He said as soon as that sun just starts to light up where you can actually see the colors of the shoreline, he said it's done. They disappear and he can't figure out where they're going.
How's about the 20-foot holes?
Spanish mackerel and sharks. And not even heavy at that. The sharks are definitely not that great there. But just a few lost ones.
Okay. All right, you remember how you tried to tell me about bait fish earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Now is the bait fish report.
Jug Creek.
What's in Jug Creek?
Bait fish.
White bait?
White bait. And same way with a little bit over there by Devilfish, but mostly over by the Three Sisters. And then there are tarpon-sized threadies scattered throughout the whole center of the harbor, basically up to marker one. But other than that, finding white bait right now, you've got to travel for it. It's not at marker two. It's not at marker one. I just want to know how the three amigos are doing with themselves, having to run all the way down there to Jug Creek.
Yeah, and you said we have little bait in other places?
Yeah. but no, it's not. It's but in turtle.
I just want to point out that it's not really nettable.
Yeah, turtle and bowl. But it's small stuff. It's always, you know, it's that time of year. We go into that weird period because you always have white bait around for a little bit, then it gets flushed out. But then you have the new cycle of
new
bait.
Hatch.
Yeah, the new hatch. It is just getting barely, not quite big enough, but close. That shows up. And then in another month or so, it'll be big enough.
We heard anything about pinfish?
The only place for pinfish, honestly, has been anywhere where you can find grass, which is anywhere along the ICW, but especially in Pine Island.
And, of course, he means Pine Island Sound. Pine Island is an island.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's land.
Sorry.
Therefore,
Pine
there's no pinfish.
Island Sound.
So, that's all right. That's what I'm here for.
I know.
The freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, and lakes.
It's mostly been all bass. Bass have been the main thing, and it's almost exclusively on shiners still. And I don't care which body of water it is. Northport, Port Charlotte, Kissimmee, doesn't matter. It seems to be like shiners are the main thing that guys are catching stuff on. I had one young man in here the other day that was starting to learn how to bass fish. So I set him up with a pack of worms. He caught one bass that was about a pound. They bought a dozen shiners, and after he caught two turtles, they brought back the shiners and got some shrimp and went saltwater fishing instead.
Yeah.
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 His mom was over trying to get hook out of a turtle's mouth.
It goes that way sometimes.
Her 10-year-old son to lose a finger to it.
Yep. You know, a lot of that is where you actually put your shiner. You know, I mean, yeah, the turtles might be anywhere, but if you put it into faster flowing water, mm-hmm. a lot of times you're going to get more bass than you do turtles.
Right.
So, you know, most of the turtles that I've caught on shiners have been where I was either fishing water that was too still or water that was too shallow.
Right.
So, but it's an easy mistake to make, especially when you're just learning.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times those are the easiest places to reach.
Right. Well, and it was also where they were at. They were fishing right off the dock there at Lake Betty.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a convenient spot to try to figure it out, but
yep.
I suggested to fish over on the canal by the bridge, but they fished off the dock right there, and that's Turtle Haven.
Yep. Any of the Mayan cichlids, tilapia, bluegills?
Yes. Lots of Mayan cichlids and tilapia. The bluegill bite's been decent, but mostly way up on the river, up there around Horse Creek. But, you know, haven't heard much of bluegill in any of the other areas.
Gotcha. And how about the smallmouth bass?
Oh, yeah. Lots of those in Georgia.
Listen, I had an argument with a guy this week.
Another one?
Yep. He's insistent that there are smallmouth bass, and he's got pictures to prove it.
And did he show you the pictures?
He did show me the pictures, which were all largemouth bass.
Yeah.
And so I modified the photos with lines on it to show him, okay, look, here's where this fish's mouth goes to compared to where its eye is. This is how you tell it's a largemouth. And look at the dorsal fin. This is also how you tell it's a largemouth. And he just would not be swayed.
Sometimes it's hard to fix that.
He is for sure catching smallmouth bass.
Okay.
Okay, then. Some folks you just can't reach.
Uh-huh.
It is now time to do the tarpon reports. So let's do the tarpon report map, starting with the red dots, the best chance for hookup. Where should I put a red dot on this map, Robert?
Right on the hill.
Right on the hill.
Mm-hmm. And in Boca Grande Pass.
And in Boca Grande Pass. Okay.
And after that, it's just a 50-50 along the ICW.
Okay. Yellow dots are 50-50s. You want them on the ICW how far south?
All the way down to Redfish.
All the way down to Redfish. Okay, there's Redfish. And I will bunk. And then I will bunk. And then I will bunk. And then how far north should I go?
As far north as I've heard them was on the beach up to way up. I haven't heard of anything like from Boca to Stump Pass, but from Stump Pass up to Venice, I've been hearing about them.
Okay, Stump Pass is that one right there, and you said out on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bunk, and I'll put one at Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Bunk, and I'll put one in between them.
Sure.
Bunk, okay. And nothing in the ICW north of Boca Grande Pass?
Not that I've heard of.
Okay. Is there any place else a yellow dot should go? Do I need any yellow dots on the beach south of Stump Pass?
Nope.
So your fish that are in Boca Grande Pass are just in Boca Grande Pass. There's not even a chance of fish on the outside of the pass.
That's probably a possibility, but not a 50-50.
Not a yellow dot. It's more like a white dot.
Yep.
Listen, I'm just trying to make sure I'm doing my job here. Okay.
I'm just not getting any reports of them.
I understand.
Where the heck they've been.
So I don't need a yellow dot up here at El Jabin. I don't need a yellow dot up here at 41.
Nope.
Nothing in the middle of the harbor.
Nope.
Okay, moving on to white dots. I will put a white dot on the outside of Boca Grande Pass.
Sounds good.
Actually, I'm going to put one north and I'm going to put one south.
Perfect.
Okay.
And then one right there behind Cayo Costa.
One behind Cayo Costa.
One by Captiva.
Bunk. One by Captiva. Bunk.
And then one by Alligator Creek Reef.
One by Alligator Creek Reef. I'll put one at each end of the reef. Bunk. Bunk. Okay.
That's it.
Anyplace else I can put one?
Nope.
I can't put one over here at Matt Lachey?
Nope.
I can't put one over here at Gasparilla Pass?
Nope.
I can't put one up here at the Myakka Mouth?
Nope.
I can't put one in the 20-foot holes?
Definitely nope.
How about one here in Cape Hayes?
No.
Okay. How about one right here at your house?
No.
Okay. Any on the Caloosahatchee?
Not that I've heard of.
So this is it for my dots?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed putting dots.
I know you do.
I like putting more red dots,
yes.
But, you know, we do what we can.
Hopefully that'll change in the next week.
I'm hoping.
Now that the Redfish Whisperer is back in town, he'll probably be finding them here shortly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he back?
Yeah.
Okay.
He stopped in yesterday.
Well, that's good. I saw your Redfish Whisperer is also a Bear Whisperer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Want to sit down and chat with him about all that?
Yeah. Captain Carl Butigan is back from Alaska, and he has lots of tales of eating nothing but salmon for a month, and pretty much what the bears are doing, actually.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool. All right. Do you have any final words of wisdom or anything to add to this report, Mr. Lukowitz?
Stay hydrated. Get started early. Come home early. Or go out late after the thunderstorms are over. That's definitely your better bet for any possibility of majority of the fish you're targeting right now.
Because we are heading into August,
yeah.
And it is a little rough out there as far as the temperatures go. You know, when you look at water temperatures that are 90 degrees, that's not happening because the air temperatures are comfortable.
Right.
That's happening because it's almost unbearable out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to get dehydrated right now. I've had several customers that have done it, so be super careful. And please don't take your pets with you. Leave your dog at home. They don't need to be with you out there on the boat.
He would much rather be hanging out in the AC.
Yes. Just not fair to them. I don't care how much you think he enjoys it. It's not fair. With as many guys as I've seen get dehydrated this past week, I can't even imagine a dog out there right now.
Dig it. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this report. We will attempt to do another one next week, but you know what our track record is on that, so we'll get to one when we get to it. Until then, there's only one thing to say. Say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.